I'd like to speak this morning to us from the theme, Please Forgive Me. For the past 2 weeks, our nation has been laser focused on the issue of domestic violence, also known as intimate partner violence. Focused because of the release of the elevator video of NFL running back Ray Rice hitting his then girlfriend Janae Palmer. We are now able to see what happened inside the elevator, to see his blow to her head as it knocked her into the railing of the elevator and rendered her unconscious. His total lack of concern for her well-being added insult to the injury of his brutal strike. The nation was appalled. Finally, they were not appalled until after they saw the video. It's unfortunate that our rage was not equal to simply knowing what he had done, which, in spite of the NFL Commissioner Goodell's protestations to the contrary, everyone knew what he had done inside that elevator before the video was shown. But the day after the video was shown, Janae Rice, his former girlfriend to whom he is now married and who married him a week after the incident in the elevator, went on television, or actually on Instagram, so that's a social media platform for those of us who are over 60. I mean, those of you over 60. She went on Instagram and asked the public to stay out of their lives as they continue to work on their relationship. And then the public, also through social media, through that Twitter machine, then the public turned on Janae Rice with a vengeance. They tweeted and posted, why does she defend him? Why does she blame herself? Why did she marry him? Why does she stay? And they piled on and on and on. It truly unleashed and revealed to us the ugly side of social media. But then there was a public response also on social media, which showed us the beautiful side of social media and its capacity for positive change. Women who themselves had lived and stayed and married into abusive relationships started a public education campaign called hashtag Why I Stayed, to educate the public to the complicated social circumstance that is intimate partner violence. And it was not only women who posted Why I Stayed, it was also men who posted Why I Stayed, speaking of their experience of abuse by their wives and by their husbands. I'd like to share with you just a few of those posts. Hashtag, Why I Stayed. I felt I deserved it for all the bad things in life I had done. Hashtag, Why I Stayed. I was in shock. Hashtag, Why I Stayed. Because every time was the last time. Hashtag, Why I Stayed. Because I should feel fortunate that someone would marry a stripper. Hashtag, why stayed? Because I learned at an early age that my body was not mine, that it was meant for men and politicians to claim. Hashtag, why I stayed? He made me feel absolutely worthless. I thought he was the best I'd get. I thought that if I tried harder, he'd change. Hashtag why I stayed. Mama stayed because when we left, we didn't have anywhere to go. We lived in the car. Friends stopped helping. We had to go back. Then another side opened up on social media, hashtag why I left. Testimonies from women who found their way out of abusive relationships. Hashtag why I left was a very powerful side to this phenomenon because many of the why I left tweets came from the very same women who had posted why I stayed. And so you got these very powerful combinations. Hashtag why I stayed. I stayed because he treated me exactly like my father treated my mother. Hashtag why I left. I left because he treated me exactly like my father treated my mother. Hashtag why I stayed. I stayed because I didn't want my children to be without their father. Why I left. I left because I didn't want my children to be without their mother. Why I stayed. Because he hadn't hit me yet. Why I left. I left because I realized it didn't have to be physical to be abuse. Hashtag why I stayed. I stayed because I knew it would get worse if I tried to leave. It did. Hashtag why I left. I left because I realized I was strong enough to survive it. I did. Hashtag why I stayed. I stayed because he told me he would kill me if I left. Hashtag why I left. I left when I realized he was going to kill me if I stayed. Research shows us that it takes 7 attempts for a woman in an abusive relationship to successfully leave that relationship. She needs an escape plan. She needs resources. She needs a destination. She needs an opportunity. One of the women that, in fact, the woman, Betty Gooden, who started this hashtag why I stayed, in her first posting, she said, when I told him I was leaving, he slept at the front door all night long and wouldn't let me go. And not only when a woman finally leaves, after these 7 attempts, she leaves, when she leaves, she is 75% more likely to be killed by her abuser. And they know this. Why I stayed? You're facing a choice of increasing the likelihood of fatal wounds and serious injury when you do leave. But for me, as a Christian minister, the most tragic of these postings was this one. Hashtag, why I stayed. I stayed because my pastor told me that God hates divorce. And it never crossed my mind that God hates abuse, too. You know, the church has not only been unhelpful to women in abusive relationships and marriages, but downright systematically complicit in perpetuating domestic abuse with bad theology and horrific pastoral counseling. The biblical prohibition against divorce, except for adultery, gets absolutized and abuse gets institutionalized. So a woman is told she must stay married to an abuser or she will go to hell. The abuser is told he can keep on beating her, but as long as he does not divorce her, he will get to go to heaven. This is when "it's in the Bible" is not only an inadequate response, but positively advances evil. Let me say that again. This is when "it's in the Bible" is not only an inadequate response, but it positively advances evil. Just because the Bible is silent on domestic abuse, that makes it okay? Do we not have the theological imagination to understand that God hates abuse more than divorce? Are we so limited in our intellect and in our compassion that we cannot understand that God loves those who are victims of abuse and desires their freedom and their healing? But woman after woman will testify how their priests, pastors, church members, male and female, will tell them to stay, to maintain the sanctity of their marriage, and that forgiveness is the Christian way. In our text today, Peter asked Jesus, "If a member of the church sins against me 7 times, must I forgive all 7 times? I believe that abused women today are asking, "If the church sins against me, how many times must I forgive the church?" Forgiveness in the mouth of an abuser simply becomes a tool of their abuse and is therefore not genuine forgiveness, the request for forgiveness. Forgiveness is a response to repentance. Repentance means to change your direction, to change your ways, to change one's life. On social media, the conversation evolved one more time from "why I stayed" to "why I left" to someone finally posting, "Why are we asking women to explain why they stayed? Why don't we ask men, #, why do you hit?" Where is that social media movement? The church must do its part to repair the damage that it has done. The church must, 1, break the silence on domestic violence and talk about it, preach about it, and teach about it. We have to teach about it so that our children growing up, and so our youngsters who are about to enter adulthood, understand that violence, physical, emotional, financial, verbal, psychological, in a marriage or in a relationship, is wrong, is evil, is sinful. The church must end its bias in favor of abusers and its bias towards staying in an abusive relationship. The church must commit resources to women's shelters and domestic violence awareness and prevention. And so next month, even though We're speaking of it today. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And we here at Pilgrim have not observed that. We will this year and every year that I remain your pastor. But ultimately, the church is in the healing business. The church is in the hope business. And forgiveness is a powerful means of grace. But it should never be cheap grace. One of the dilemmas that the public has faced is that we cannot tell from the outside what's going on in a relationship. We see Janae and Ray Rice on television. We see her saying, "I'm sorry for my role in these events." We see her saying, "I love my husband." We see her saying, "Stay out of our lives and let us do the work to repair our relationship." And all of that could be true, but it's hard to tell because those are the exact same things that women caught in the cycle of abuse are expected to say. So we don't know. And we pray that indeed the court-mandated and court-ordered counseling for them, not just him, is real and that they respond to it in a real way. Because ultimately we do hope to end abuse and not just end abusive relationships. There are very complicated reasons that women stay. They do have few resources to leave. They do want a whole family. They do love their spouses. They do want to believe that things can be different. Those who work with abusers have seen some progress, but in far, far too few circumstances. And so while we pray for Janae and Ray Rice and all those who are caught in that cycle of violence, one of the things that we learn from studying this is that by the time a partner strikes the other partner, that's not the beginning of abuse. That's the culmination of an entire cycle and system of abuse. They've been prepared verbally. They've been prepared financially. They've been prepared socially through isolation by taking them away from their families and placing them in circumstances where they cannot cry out for help before the first blow is struck. So the church has a lot of work to do. Ending a bias against staying and starting to work with all necessary resources to repair and restore a safe, loving, respectful relationship in each circumstance is the church's ministry. But first, the church must repent and say with deep commitment, "Please forgive me." Let the people of God say, "Amen."